WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. It's such an honor to be with you tonight. Listen, we have so many exciting things going on, and we are the Bride Ministries. I just cannot wait to tell you about them all. First of all, we launched our new website, which is watbradio.com. And on there, it has a lot of more exciting things. First of all, I want to say welcome to our new director, Tristan Major, and also to our new assistant director, Pastor Angela Walker. And these are going to serve all of you ministries well. And so far, we have about 15 to 20 new hosts that are in the process of being trained, and they are going to be able to interview you people from all over the world. It is our honor here to highlight what God is doing in your ministry. And listen, we believe this with the bottom of our heart, that through this ministry, we are releasing the sound in the earth of unity in the Bride of Christ. Okay, and here is Mr. Tristan.
Hello, Bride. It's an honor to get to speak to you. I just wanted to mention that we are honored to serve all of you and highlight your ministries and get the word out about what God is doing through you and with your ministry and in your area, even if you want to highlight what's going on with other churches around where you are. It's all about unity, and it's all about promoting everyone and bringing everyone together in unity under Christ. If you would like to advertise on us, we offer many options. We offer different options on our website at watbradio.com/advertise. And if you just want to donate to help us stay on the air and take care of whatever we need to take care of, whatever God presents before us, it's watbradio.com/donate. And here's June again.
Hallelujah. Listen, Bride, the Lord has blessed us with the money to start watb.tv. This is going to start in the fall. We are so excited to bring unity at a new level and to be preparing platforms for the bride to be able to have a voice to reach the harvest. Amen. So stay tuned to hear. Now go to our website at watb.tv and register if you're interested in having a show on there or interested in participating in that. Amen. Now also, if you'll go to our website at wearethebride.us, you will see many different ways that you can engage with us. You can become a volunteer. On our volunteer page, we need many volunteers, web designers, graphic designers, people that would just take calls, people that are prayer warriors, people that can just type, people that can visit us in the different cities while we're traveling, anything, just go on there. Listen, we have the motto, just as I am. We will take you just as you are. If you have the heart to love and to give back to the bride, this is the place to be, because we want all of us to come together. Look, this is God's ministry, and so we're just serving Him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. Now listen, all of you from other nations that listen to this broadcast, we now have a new director named Kenny Major that is able to focus purely on the bride overseas. And that, if you go to our website, wearethebride.us/nations, you'll be able to register your nation. And also, she has a page on Facebook, and we want to build a relationship with you. So that is through WATB Nations. Okay, also, the WATB Bride Fest. Bride Fest is a ceremony of purification, basically. It's just giving your life 100% to the Lord, dropping all of your dreams and the way you think your life should be and everything, just laying it down for the call that God wants to do with us. It's rising us up as the army of the living God in this last moment. So check out the website at WATB Bride Fest. We do have one coming up July 17th and 18th at the Hopkinsville Prayer Center, Hopkinsville Revival Center. If you can go ahead and mark your calendar on July the 17th and 18th. Also, if you have prayer requests, listen, we have an intercession team now. I think we got how many, Tristan? 12 or 15 people on the intercession team. Submit your prayer request. And listen, thank you so much. Now, Tristan wants to say one more thing.
We'd really like it if the bride would lift up June, as she's going on a month and a half long trip. She's going to be out of town, and she's basically going on faith. So if y'all would lift her up, that God would provide for her over the next month and a half, and that God's will be done, and that he would show up mightily as he... Yeah. As she travels to meet all of you that have been on, some of you have been on the radio, some of you are going to be on the radio in the future. It's just a way of blessing and helping to unify the body of Christ even further. So just keep her in your prayers and your thoughts, and lift her up to God as she goes forward and does his will as best she's able.
Hallelujah, bride. Okay, we pray that you enjoy this broadcast. God bless you.
Hello, bride. Call again. Today I have a co-host with me. Her name is Alona Rivera. If y'all remember, I interviewed her not that long ago. Say hi, Alona.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm blessed.
Awesome.
I truly am.
And,
yes.
We're blessed to be able to interview John Ward today. He's a prophetic revivalist, and he... is part of Only You, Lord Ministries, which is traveling around Tennessee and the eight states around it right now. How you doing, John?
Doing great. Just
Glad to hear it. So, we always like to start out by asking about basically how you got to know God and how he led you to where you are now. I mean, how did you go from someone who wasn't saved into the ministry and into...
That's a real life story, and not as maybe not quite as glossy as some people's. But and I've been a Christian for well over 40 years, 45 years. I'm
awesome.
In my 60s, and in college, I was trying to get a date with this young Christian lady that I met, and she said, "Well, she said I think I'll pass on that, but you can come to church with me. Why not?" And, I mean, I didn't even know she was a Christian, but I just kind of zeroed in on her. But it was all God's plan, I'm sure. And she said I could come to church some Wednesday night with her. And so I thought, well, that's better than nothing. And so I took her up on it. And the Lord met me that night at a little Baptist church on a Wednesday night and saved me. And she worked with the youth ministry. There in the town in Clarksville, Tennessee. I was going to Austin Peay, and so I got hooked up with them and just had a great time serving the Lord there in college. And the lady and I never got together, but the Lord used that divine appointment to get me saved and get me started serving Him.
Awesome. So how did you go from that to where you are now?
Well, it's been a long been a long road. You know, the Lord has a map with lots of different little dots on it, and they're not in a straight line. You know what, Tristan? They're
very
not in
true.
A straight line at all, brother. They are all different jig, back and forth, you know. And so I went into real estate and did that several years. And then I was in the car business for a long time, had my own used car business. And it was kind of an interesting way to share the gospel. I had taken construction paper, colored construction paper, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty nearsighted, and I had used a magic marker and written scripture verses on these okay. each one of these construction paper things, and had basically wallpapered the walls of my office.
Oh, very cool. Lot.
And I figured, well, it's my business. That's what I like to do. I like to look at and repeat scripture. And if the customers don't like it, of course, they can always go somewhere else if they want to. And I never had anybody get up and say, well, this is really way over the edge, isn't it? So I guess that was a witness to them. And a lot of people asked me about it, of course, and I shared.
Oh, sure.
And I've been in non-denominational churches, basically, even though I got saved at the little Baptist church, no inference there, but non-denominational churches over the years. And about 10 or 12 years ago, I've always been interested in the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to, and I was going to, I'll just say, Belmont Church in Nashville, big metropolitan.
Yeah, I've been there.
In the No Church. I went there a long time, too. Really great church. And I was mm-hmm. talking to a college-age person and said something about Reinhard Bonnke. Well, he had even spoke there one time, and I was fortunate. I got down front quick, and he laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I was saying something about Reinhard Bonnke, and they looked at me real funny and said, "Who's that?" And I thought if a college-age Christian in a big metropolitan church doesn't know who Reinhard Bonnke is, think how many other people in the country
yeah.
and around the world don't know who he is. Of course,
that's
his
right.
ministry has been mostly in Africa over the years,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the west coast of Africa. And he would just have an occasional crusade in America, very rare. Now, he does
yeah.
have partner breakfast meetings, and I went to one of those a few years ago, too. But as far as crusades, he hadn't. But he's well-known, you know, around the world. And one of the greatest soul winner, I would say, in history, you know. Over 72 million signed decision
wow.
cards for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That is all.
Totally astounding. You know, that's not handcuffs.
Yeah.
That's signed decision cards. So when they said that, something clicked. When that person at Belmont said that, it just clicked in my spirit that the Lord wanted me to help inform people and connect between the dots and get information about revival to people that don't know, and that they would be encouraged and that they could be praying for those people that are out there on the forefront, you know, doing what they're doing. And so that started the germination of my ministry about 12 years ago for Revival Now USA. And so that's what I've been all about, and kind of, you know, with a lot of other prophetic people on the forefront saying that revival is imminent. And another
Amen.
Great awakening is on the horizon for America.
Amen.
And that's been on my heart for a long time. The Lord's had me, you know, shouting that wherever I can. And and there's lots of other evangelists. You know that I know a lot of people have never heard of, like Louis Palau.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's here out in Washington State. And he's had a crowd of up to 300,000 outdoors in Florida one time. And here in Nashville, he had about 80,000. I think they said it was the biggest crowd to date on the riverfront in Nashville
wow.
a few years ago. So there's lots of people like that a lot of people hadn't heard of. And I just enjoy sharing that they would know that there's big things going on. And and what God will do for Louis Palau or Reinhard Bonnke, he'll do for us. You know, he's no
yes,
discriminator
he
of persons. And so that's the point of it, not to glorify anybody, but just to say, hey, you know, if God will do that for them, well, he'll do it for us, too. He'll do it for We Are the Bride. He'll do it for whoever
wants
to.
He's no respecters of persons, right.
That's right. That's right. For whoever wants to reach out there and believe for that, that he'll do it for them, too.
And whoever's willing to pay the price and go.
That's right. That's exactly right. And just to follow up on that about Reinhard Bonnke, I don't know if you know, but about a year and a half ago, he said that the Holy Spirit told him that in the same way that he had told him that Africa would be saved. Now, all of Africa has not been saved, but over 70 million is a pretty good-sized chunk of Africa.
Yeah.
He showed him a map of a blood-washed Africa map. He said in the same manner, he told him that in 1972 or 3, he told him a year and a half ago that America would be saved, period.
Awesome.
And a lot of people don't know that. Of course, I kind of follow Bonnke. And so, wow, you know, there's not many people I would take a word to the bank, you know what I'm saying? But I grabbed hold of that one, and if Bonnke said that, you know, I'm going to stand with him on that. And America is going to be saved. And I believe this is the kickoff year for revival around the country, that many streams of revival are going to come together, and it's going to be a tidal wave that is going to wash across America, and we're going to have another great awakening. Now, that's what I personally believe.
I find it interesting. Oh, go ahead, Alana.
No, I was saying I have to agree with you on that, just, you know, listening to what you're saying, because when you look at all the different things that's been happening of late, especially, there's no way we can't have something happen like a revival. You know, people have got to come together. They've got to realize that the way that especially the United States has been divided, that we've got to come together, because it's not going to get any better if we don't.
That's right. Yeah. There's no the solution is not going to come from Washington or anywhere else. The only solution is going to come from heaven. It doesn't matter who. I posted it the other day on Facebook. It's not the donkeys or the elephants.
The elephants.
It's going to be the lamb. It's going to be the party of the lamb. Is the only salvation for America. The only hope for America is the party of the lamb. And that's what's going to happen. God has heard our cries, and he's not going to let America go down the tubes. And I firmly believe that, you know, because this country was founded on those principles. That's why this country has been such a great nation all these years. I think that's kind of obvious as the nose on your face. And so he's not going to let his own name be defamed that way. It's going to come to a screeching halt very soon, very soon.
I certainly hope so.
I don't know if I was supposed to be preaching already, but that gets me fired up, you know, thinking about that's going to happen. And something else I don't know if you've heard this, but Jonathan Kahn, you know, that wrote The Harbinger and all that, he said recently that this coming up Jewish New Year, you know, the end of September, is going to be a Jubilee year. Now, that's his calculations. Nobody knows. Nobody, you know, you can't tell through historical Hebrew teaching. But he said, with his own calculations, which I think he's a pretty good source, that this year is going to be a Jubilee year. And so I'm really looking forward to that, and I think that's going to be concurrent with the Great Awakening, that God's going to use the Jubilee year to roll out a great awakening for us.
That would be absolutely awesome, I have to say.
So, and also, did you want me to go on and share some about the other things that I'm doing, too?
Oh, yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. Well, I'm on Facebook a lot. I have a group of over 1,000 in Revival Now, USA.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
As a support group and iron sharpens iron. That's what it's all about, to encourage each other more as we see revival coming. And I think we got 1,080 in the group. and also to pray for me on the radio. I have a an internet radio program on Revival Now USA on two times on the weekend on the internet now.
Awesome.
Also, and I've been doing that for almost 4 years, and I really enjoy that. It's kind of funny that radio has, I think, been on the map for me. It's been God's appointment for me since I, you know, since the beginning, because when I was 13 or 14, I was the teen DJ of the week on WKDA in Nashville. Now, that's just kind of funny, you know, but I look back now and say that God had a reason for that, that really got me excited about radio. And it's been a long time coming. You know, and but God has got this thing about full circle. That's been a big word for us in our ministry the last few years, is God is bringing a lot of things full circle. And sometimes those are great big long circles, you know. But he brings them back to his appointed time and place for that thing to have its fulfillment, you know. Like with Elijah and the Shulamite woman. You know, said, well, what would you, what can we do? What can I do for you in the Lord? And he thought, well, she was older and hadn't had a child. And he said, well, next year, when the season comes around, see that, when it comes around, full circle, you'll have that child. And she stood in the doorway when the word was spoken to her. And brother, we are, and sister, we are standing in the doorway now for what God is going to do full circle.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
So, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that that is one of my favorite things now, is talking about full circle. And also, I'm just really blessed that with the spirit that I get from We Are the Bride, because my thing, too, for a long, long time, God has spoken it to my heart, and I'm sure to many, many, to really all committed Christians, that the body of Christ has got to come together and be one body, not fragmented.
Yeah.
Pieces way all over here, hide behind a tree or whatever. One body is one body. I mean, that's just with one head. Has one head, that's Jesus, and we are all one body, fingers connected to one hand. And, you know, a thumb by itself can do very little. You know, it can finger pain or whatever. But and a finger and a thumb together, though, can write a book. So I think that's the clear analogy of what the body's all about. When we get to, when we work together, we can do big, big things. And that's God's intention. That's his plan for us, just to do it together and do the big stuff that he wants us to do in his name.
Right, right. May I say something, interject?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, as you were saying that, you know, I see this in, you know, in my head where, like you said, I totally agree with you with the WATV, you know, We Are the Bride, because I felt the same way. And that's how I got connected with them, too, because, you know, one person can do so much, but a group of people who believe the same way can do so much more. And I think that this also can help weed out all the ones who are really not doing it for the right reasons. You know, because if we're going to come together with We Are the Bride, you know, God is going to make sure that the people that are supposed to be there will be there, you know, and not the ones who are not supposed to be for selfish reasons. Because I hear you talking this entire time, and all you're doing is lifting everyone else up. You know, you're not even talking so much about yourself. I just think that's just a wonderful quality, because we should be reaching out as brothers and sisters for each other, helping each other, lifting each other up, so that we can all, you know, be edified together and be lifted up like we should be, because it's what it's all about. Isn't it at the very end? Isn't that what we're supposed to do anyway? You know, I went to Bible study yesterday, and the pastor said something about, and he made it very, very a wonderful, you know, talk about how we should do unto others as we would want them, you know, have them do unto us. And if we all lived by that principle, by that rule that's even stated in the Bible, would this not be such a better place?
Well,
you know?
Sure.
It would.
If we didn't have the me, my attitude, is exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, what can we do for someone else? You know, can we lift them up?
That's right. That's exactly right. Where can we serve? Not who can serve us, but where can we find a place to serve?
Amen.
That reminds me, really, of the Dream Center, you know, the L.A. International Church in California, and that's their motto. They say, we look for a place to serve to meet a need. We don't start a ministry and wait for people to come to us. We find a need, and we go out and meet it. You know,
that's what WATB is all about.
And see, God has blessed the Dream Center so tremendously. Tommy and Matthew Barnett, tremendously. And
I can feel the Holy Spirit
that
right
attitude
now.
That attitude to serve. And that's what God honors. And he sends the increase, you know. So one of my favorite sayings, I'm sure other people have thought this up, but I've never heard anybody else say it. the only walk is a shared walk. And I can say that emphatically, and I think you guys can too, because you have the heart for that. The only walk is a shared walk because Lone Rangers get shot down. Now, the Lone Ranger was a cute cowboy back in the 50s and 60s, but Lone Rangers in the church, that's not God's heart. That's not God's heart, period. There were a few Old Testament prophets now that they basically had to be Lone Rangers because they had a group of prophets with some of the prophets, you know, that he taught. But the nation was going the wrong way, so the prophet was kind of out there by himself. But that's not the way it is today. So Lone Rangers get shut down, and emphatically, God's heart is the only walk, it's a shared walk. And I can't tell you how many times I've posted that on Facebook and preached that message, because I think that's your heart, and that's the idea of we are the bride, is that we got to go together, and that's the only walk that God's going to honor. He's not going to honor the Lone Ranger walk. Now, people can do it and think they're getting by and they're cutesy, but guess what? God's not going to honor that in the long run.
Yeah, I don't know the scripture itself, but I know it says, I can't quote the scripture, but it says in the Bible, one faith, one baptism, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. One body, one faith, one baptism. That's exactly
right.
And guess
what?
You don't hear that preached very often either.
No, you don't, because too many people are afraid, you know, that, you know, they're going to step on the toes. I know I was talking to Tristan about this on the broadcast last week, and we talked about how, you know, people are just afraid to step on people's toes. You know, when they're up on the pulpit, for instance, they're not preaching anymore or giving any kind of word that's necessary. They're doing it what's wanted from the people. Because they're all worried about numbers. It's just all about the numbers. How many people can I get into church, you know? Because the greater the number, the greater I'm going to look, you know. And I'm not saying everybody's doing that. It's just, it's something that I've noticed, you know, by having been to different churches and things throughout my journey serving Christ, you know. And it's just, it's really sad, because God wants us to stand strong and just get out there and preach what is needed and what he wants us to, for everyone to do and say and work towards, and not what everyone wants to make them feel comfortable, you know, as to where they are. You know what I mean? Like the lifestyle that they're leading, and that's everything is just okay. And it's
It's just the world's way of doing the world system. And there are a lot of audiences, you know, there are a lot of churches that really have a moderator and an audience. But God's not calling us to be fans. He's calling us to be followers. And you have fans with audiences, but you have followers in the real church. And the leaders are supposed to be servants of all. And a lot of them would say, ouch, on that one. But they're called to be the servants of all. That's what Jesus said, not the hotshots of all, the servants of all.
Yeah, so, because, again, at the end of the day, what's God going to look at? Is he going to look at all the people you rose up from the dead, or all the churches you built, or is he going to look at your heart? Because you can say so much and you do so much, but it can all be for the wrong reasons, for selfish reasons, and we have to all check ourselves, you know, to make sure we're not doing the things for God for that. so that we don't get caught up in that, because our heart is what matters, because no one can see our heart but God.
That's
nobody.
Right. That's exactly
nobody
right.
can see our heart but Him. So if we do something, but we know that we're not telling the truth about it, or we know there's an ulterior motive that's bad because it's selfish, God knows that. So it really
sure.
doesn't matter. You can't really, hide behind your facade or whatever it is that you're trying to hide behind or behind the people, you know, so that at the end of the day, again, you know, there's going to be lots of people that are going to be really shocked and surprised when God literally says, you know, yeah, okay, you did all this in my name. However, your heart wasn't right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that core that you have. And it's hard when you don't have a good core, let's say, for whatever reason, and you always default back to that bad core, you know, because even after someone gets saved, they can still have that core if they don't develop it and feed it and nurture it, right? They can still default back to those things, whatever that might be, you know, and never get right in that sense to where, you know, their core is good for
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I hope that made sense.
It does. And Jesus talked about whenever you've given a cup of water or you've covered a naked one or something. See, those are not big-time ministry jobs. But, see, that's
mm-hmm.
what he's looking for is, will we take the little job if he gives us one, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And that's important. See, are we only into the big jobs? So we that way we can check ourselves, you know. So
yeah.
that's what we
yeah,
have to
do.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah, I mean,
one
often,
other thing that
go ahead.
One other thing that goes along with this is about being a shared walk and all. Is I share a lot of times about we all have a part and place. Now we don't have the same part. And we don't have the same place. A thumb is not a finger, and a finger is not a thumb. They need to get that, you know, they have to understand that. And in our body, they do. But as people, we have to say, hey, we don't have to be like Reinhard Bonnke. We don't have to be Reinhard Bonnke.
Exactly.
And but we do have everybody, I believe, every Christian has a specific job assignment, which God can change that at any time. He sees fit, and He does do that. But we all have a calling. We all have a distinct, particular calling and job assignment for the moment, and they all fit together. That's the great part, see,
yeah.
is that in Matthew 18:19, a good example of this, Matthew 18:19, where it says, where two or more agree as touching any
mm-hmm.
matter, it will be done for them by their Heavenly Father. And
mm-hmm.
agree means to harmonize. In the Greek, it means to harmonize and even make a symphony. And see, when one person can have the amen, the other person can have a long prayer, and the other guy just have an amen. But if it's 100% heartfelt, amen, 100%,
yeah.
he's involved in that,
yes.
not just throwing
yeah.
a cap on the poem. On the prayer, but if it's 100% in agreement in his heart, like you said, sister, God knows our heart, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's in 100% agreement, God will honor that if they're in 100% agreement. Not maybe,
right.
so-so, kind of, sort of. That's why we need to talk about things a lot of times before we pray about them to see if we're really in agreement about that matter. You know,
yeah.
and so then we do that and see a symphony. That's a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ ought to be all about when we're in agreement, 100%
mm-hmm.
agreement, and then we all have our part to play. They're not the same, but they all fit together to make that beautiful sound of a symphony.
Yeah, I find it very interesting. You brought that up. I was talking to Terry and Barbie Franklin the other day, and I made the exact same analogy. I mean, it's like the body of Christ is like an orchestra, a symphony that
Amen.
Right now, unfortunately, a lot of them in America are trying to play their own thing, and it's not
yeah.
melding together like it should be.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly
we need
right. So that's my favorite subject and sermon, and I believe it's going to resonate throughout the bride and the body of Christ, because that's God's heart, you know, that we do it together and that we all have a part and place. And we don't have to be, and even if it's small, a lot of Christians have that fan mentality or audience mentality and think, well, you know, that's all up to the guys that are on salary over there. Well, that's baloney. Yeah. You know, God's called all of us to be ministers in one way or another. We all have a testimony. Every Christian, and if he doesn't have a testimony, he needs to go back, like you said, sister, and check his heart if he's even saved. See, but anybody that's saved has got a testimony of how God changed them, and they can share that with the trash man, the mailman, or the sack boy at the grocery and change a life. So we all have an assignment, and we need to seek it out and see what it is if we don't know. And
I think the biggest issue sometimes becomes when you have a certain reputation, you know? And I don't mean you as an individual, but as a group of people. And you have Christians that are looked at in a certain light. Then you have non-Christians, or you have other, you know, people from other faiths and religions. So you have all these stigmas that are attached to these different organizations and religions. And so when people have their perception based on their own, you know, experience and upbringing and things, so now you have people who are maybe not shedding a good light, certain ones, on Christianity, and so automatically what happens, you know, negative things come out, and it's really sad because there's such a bad reputation, I think, sometimes that's attached to that. So it makes it difficult, I think, much more difficult, you know, to be able to preach the gospel and talk to people about God, you know, and a lot of times they want something for that. They don't understand if you talk to them, you know, give their life to Christ, that their life will change. Sometimes first a little worse and then better, just depending on, you know, their walk. But if you feed them, you know, by way of giving them something tangible, I think, to hang on to, whether it's, you know, I don't know, like I'm thinking of things like giving them clothes or shelter or food or something of some nature, that they can say, wow, this person really does care about me. You know, I mean, this might really be something. You know, people just, it's hard for people, I think, to even trust people in general.
That reminds me again so much of the LA International Church, the Dream Center, because they do that adopt a block thing. They just go out and clean up yards and streets
and stuff like that.
Nobody ever asked them to. Mm-hmm. And you know, love disarms people. You go serve people for no good reason at all. Well, what are they going to do? They'll say, "Hey, you go to church. Maybe I would like to come over there." You don't have to ask them. Hey, you don't even have to ask them. They'll ask you. What's with you? Where do y'all go to church? They'll want some of that.
Exactly, because you're giving them something.
You're just showing them love. You know, they have volunteers, and they go out every Saturday morning into the heart of L.A., into the rough areas of L.A., and clean up little old ladies and men's yards and do all that stuff. And sure, they get tons of people that come. And God has blessed
them. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful, and we should all look at that example. You know, I do have sometimes an issue, though, with people, I think, when they think that they should be able to go to a church and have them pay all their bills and things. I don't personally agree with that.
Make a profession out of that, too.
Exactly. So I don't totally agree with that, but I think there's definitely a way for a church, you know, or a group, an organization, to reach out to people and say, okay, what can we do to make your life better? What is it that you're lacking? You know, oh, you don't have a job? Okay, let me help you get a resume together. Let me help you, you know, and show them the love of Christ that way. You know, and or what do you need? You need some food? Hey, guys, who's got some extra stuff? Let's get it together. Let's help these folks, you know. And again, a temporary thing, you know, not something that should be an every, you know, everyday thing, you know. And just let me not even get into the food stamp program, you know, it's because I think that serves its purpose. Just not, and it shouldn't be a lifelong thing. But anyway, that's a whole nother soapbox. But but anyway, I think, and I think that we should reach out, you know, to the communities that we live in and the world if we can. But I think we should take care of our community first, you know,
well,
our community, our city.
the best role model I can offer is the Dream Center, and you can see them on Facebook and on the on the internet too. They've been there for a long time, and
I've heard of them. Yeah,
richly blessed to Matthew, and it was 18 or 19, and his dad Tommy, and they started that with the City of Angels Hospital that was in rough shape. You know, about a half a million square foot piece of property, and they bought it and remodeled it. And Tommy, Matthew lived in the building, young single man, and Tommy would come out 3 days a week. He already had one of the largest churches in the country in his 60s and started that work. It was amazing, just totally amazing.
Wow.
And now they have the Angelos Temple has been given to them by, I can't think of the lady's name from back in the 30s, the evangelist lady that her son, in his 80s, gave the building to the Dream Center, and they've remodeled it, and that's where they have church now.
And that's what happened.
That's been one of my favorite subjects over the years. I asked him to send me a case of his books one time, Dream Again. You know, and that just says it all. And so many people have lost their dream, lost their vision. And he wrote a book, Dream Again, and I asked him for a case of their books, and I just gave them out to everybody.
Awesome. Well, we need to take a break for just a minute, and we'll be right back. Everyone hang on. It's been awesome talking with you so far, I have to say.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's been great.
All right, hang on for just a moment.
Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is sold. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
And we're back with John Ward and Ilona Rivera. And, John, I actually had one other question I wanted to ask you. What if you have 5 minutes to talk to the church in America, to tell them anything, what would it be?
Well, I think I would I probably had jumped the gun a little bit earlier, but and I say this often, to get ready, get ready, get ready, that revival is only horizon for America and even another great awakening, and that we all have a part and place to involved in that, and we're not called to be on the bench and to guard the water bucket. We all have a place on the team. We all have an assignment, and that, like in a an army, you know, you have the supply clerks and you have the guys that fill the jeeps with gas, and if they don't do that, if they don't do that, and if the cooks don't fix breakfast, then how are those big guns and those big tanks and those generals going to make any headway and win the war? Well, they're not.
Exactly. See?
And so we all have a part and place to play, and we need to, if we don't know what it is, we need to get busy and seek God. And getting busy is just maybe getting still and quiet before him. Go down, sit down at the lake for an hour, and give God a chance to speak through all the busyness and all of the hubbub and all the entertainment that we see in our world today. Give him a chance to tell you what your assignment is, and then go for it with the gusto, because we are on the cusp of the greatest move of God, I believe, in history. And
far from alone in that belief.
Do what?
You are far from alone in that belief.
Yeah, amen, amen, brother.
That's right.
That there are three prophecies from 100 years ago, and they're called the 100-year prophecies. And if you're not familiar with those, you can just Google that 100-year prophecy on the web, and they will say from 100 years ago, zeroing in on our time right now. And it was said by the leader at Azusa Street that the greatest revival in history would happen about this time, and that the Shekinah glory of God would be seen on the earth and before Jesus comes back. And it's going to happen. And it's going to shock a lot of Christians. It's definitely going to knock most people off their chairs, and it's going to shock a lot of Christians that were hoping it would happen. But it is coming. It is coming. So we need to get ready to do whatever God says, you know, and especially if he gives you a little foreknowledge about it. And part of that has been he's called me to build a prayer center up in East Tennessee, up in the mountains. And so I've been scouting out the land for that. And, of course, prayer's been the catalyst, you know, for every major revival. And there's probably lots of other prayer centers, but he's called me to do that. And our where I go to church, Only You, Lord Ministries, we're traveling the 8 states around Tennessee, the border of Tennessee, this summer, heading out tomorrow morning to Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and to go do a revival out there and to make that prophetic declaration that revival is here and that people need to get activated, you know. And so we're doing that, and that's a vision that our team leader, G. Warnack, has had for a long time, that Tennessee would be the hub, a hub for revival. And also Randy DeMaine, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he has shared that Tennessee would be the Gate of Eight. And so we believe that, and so we're getting out there and doing that and getting ready. You know, you got to make that prophetic declaration a lot of times before anything happens. God wants us to make that declaration, so we're trying to do that. And I'm the administrator of our page, Only You, Lord Ministries. We've got a page on Facebook, and so we tell about our revivals there. And so it's all about revival and about God's heart. You know, God's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. I don't really believe that. I believe he's waiting on us to line up with each other, lock arms, and go for the gusto, and he's going to do it. Yeah, and repent. The Second Chronicles 7:14 says, you know, all that about praying for it, and it also says turning from our wicked ways. Now, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he's talking to the believers. So any pet sins, anything that we're dragging along, we got to let it go. See, we got to let it go and go for the gusto.
Right. That sounds like it's totally in line with what June, you know, is saying. That you know, she had a vision also for everyone to, you know, lock arms, get all together in this army and move forward and charge. You know, I think it's a great thing. It's you know, definitely high time for us to get together and do that. We have to all be on one accord. We have to, or it's not going to work, because I know, Tristan, you mentioned this the other day, that, you know, you have the body of Christ where there's so many people, you know, moving forward, and they're praying, and they're thanking God, and they're doing all the things that they need to do, and they're weeping and all the things, and just really trying to get the word out and get some movement done. But then you've got people in the background who are weighing it down by dragging it down by not being in one accord, you know, and so that kind of defeats that purpose. So you've got this tug of war going on, you know, and it's all in the spirit. We know this, right? Not in the flesh, not in the blood, but in the spirit. So it makes it very tough for us then to move forward when you've got a lot of things just pulling you back again, you know.
That's right. Another way to say the same thing is, I don't know if you're familiar with, from several years ago, the transformation videos.
I think I remember hearing about those.
They were about there were video documentaries of big revivals around the world, and the key, the main ingredient in all of them was when pastors came across denominational lines and came
yes.
together and prayed, brought, and ended up bringing their people together and prayed. And that is the key factor. And then they saw citywide and even nationwide revivals. And there again, a lot of people are not familiar with those, but you can still see those on YouTube. Manchester, Kentucky,
yes.
mm-hmm. a small town, they had 60-something out of 90 of the local pastors come together. And they were just infested with drug problems there, prescription drug problems. Well, the Lord turned that upside down and inside out and cleaned up a problem where they had judges, school counselors, school drug counselors were selling drugs. And
oh, wow.
it was the county was inundated with drugs, and it turned it upside down when pastors crossed denominational lines. See, so that's it.
Yeah.
We as individuals have to cross denominational lines and lock arms,
yeah.
and so do leaders. And when that happens, you get the explosion. You get the revival explosion.
Amen.
This is true. Have to set all those egos aside, right? And
that's
say,
exactly
okay,
right.
what's in it?
Exactly
yeah, instead
right.
of what's in it for me, but what's in it for all of us? You know, for to serve God properly. That's correct.
Amen.
I agree with you
I
totally.
Mean, if God had a small enough ego, I mean, if anyone has a right to have an ego, it's God. But if
right.
He came down and humbled Himself and did everything He did in the Bible, I mean, if He's willing to do that, I mean, certainly we should be willing to. I mean,
amen.
Amen. We're not called to have
says,
egos.
Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. I agree with you totally. I know there's a lady I was talking to yesterday, and she struggles, you know, a lot with her past and feels like she's not worthy, you know, to have this, that, or the other, you know, have a good life. And I told her, I said, listen, I said, you know, Jesus gave His life for you. You know, it's almost like, how dare you say you're not worthy, you know?
Right,
so if
right.
He humbled Himself enough to give His life for you, then who are you to say that you're not worthy when you are a child of God? You are worthy.
Okay.
You are, you know, you are worthy. And people don't understand that when they give their life to Christ. I don't think there's enough education given to those people to really let them understand the impact that it has is going to make in their life and the moment they gave their life to Christ, what actually transformed, what actually happened at that moment.
Yeah.
They became a new creature and they are worthy. So it's just, I think there's just not enough education out there for people to understand who they really are in Christ.
The whole
When He sees us through the blood, He sees us
yes.
a whole different way than we see ourselves.
Doesn't He? You know? Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Yes. The whole issue of there not being enough discipleship in the church, really. I mean, as
yeah.
you're talking about, there's not enough teaching and education about it. Well, if people aren't working on discipleship or they just worry about getting people to know Jesus instead of discipling them in that after. I mean, how can you expect somebody who's never been to church before, never even touched the Bible, to understand, I'm a new person, I'm a new creature. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that look like? You can't expect a newborn baby to be able to feed itself or take care of itself or understand what's going around it. And
well, that takes a lot of time and effort to
it
to
does.
Them up, see? And a lot of people don't want to do that.
Yes, and that's
well,
a very severe problem.
Yes, they can be born, like you said, a child is born in an instant, you know, whether it's an hour or 24 hours, whatever, how long it takes to be born, right? Every woman's
yeah.
different. But it takes that instant for it to be born. And now it is a baby. You know, and I mean, there's reference made about it in the Bible where when we're babies, you know, we eat like babies. Once we become
yeah.
more seasoned, we eat, you know, more seasoned, you know. And so it talks about that. And I think that's that progressive state that you have to be in. And unless you've got someone teaching you, just like the parents teach that baby, then you have someone teaching you in the church, whoever it was that, you know, brought you to Christ, then to teach you how things should be, not necessarily, you know, judging you or anything, but reading from the scriptures and from the Bible and teaching
yeah.
them, hey, this is what God likes. This is what He wants. This is where, you know, what you can do, you know, and then you teach them and you disciple them, like you said, and then I think that creates much more a foundational Christian then to say, oh, okay, I get it, I understand it. Doesn't mean they're not going to go through trials and tribulations, we already know that, but at least they have something to reach back into and go, hey, wait a minute, I remember that scripture that was shared with me because of this, this, and this. And, you know, they say, hey, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So, you know, Satan, get thee behind me, you know. And so they're able to have some kind of arsenal they can draw from to say, hey, you know, I remember learning this as I was being discipled. And I think that gives them such a better foundation, I think.
Amen. Definitely. Amen. I had a pastor years ago give a very vivid picture of that. He said it was like leading somebody to the Lord. They get saved at a church service, and it's like a baby laying there on the steps at the altar, and it's still got, you know, the stuff that needs to be cleaned off of it and all, and you pitch them a program, you pitch them a schedule of the meeting times, and pop it on top of them there, and then take off, say, see you at church next time. Well, you know, that doesn't work real good.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great idea. I like that. I visualize it as you said it. That's good. You know, we are visual people. So.
And then all of a sudden they're back in their regular life, and nothing in their life has changed, even though they have. So how do they fight against all the inertia and so forth of their life that they have lived so far?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to break those patterns and those habits and things that you have. I mean, it's...
And the secret to it, even still today, you know, after 45 years in the Word, is to, wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way? By hiding the Word of God in his heart, that he might not sin against him. And so, scripture memory, like I was talking about, writing those verses out on those construction paper pieces, I still got a bunch of those from 10, 15, 20 years ago that I have taken back off the wall, and there's some of them are a little shabby, but I go through them. And it's amazing. It's amazing the things that verses that I memorized 40 years ago, well, I still remember them because that word's alive. See, it's not like anything else. It's the only living book that there is. And so that's why we have to be in the Word, and we have to teach other people to be in the Word.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's also useful to actually teach newborn Christians to actually understand how to read the Bible. Because, I mean, you just hand them a Bible, they're going to be like, where do I start? I mean,
right.
That's an awesome new book to have no idea what's going on.
Right.
I totally agree with you, because I know when I was first handed the Bible, it was a King James Version. And, you know, all those words, for art thou and everything. I didn't understand a word that it was saying. You know, I was like reading it. And someone literally told me way back then, which, again, was not the greatest discipleship, because they told me, oh, well, you won't understand those words until you're really, like, into God, you know. So that's not good, you know. That wasn't very nice. And as a young person, I didn't get it. I was like, what do you mean? So now I'm not understanding any of these verses, so that means I'm not even close to God, so what's the point, you know? And you walk away. That's what happened to me.
That's
thankfully, I'm still alive,
problem.
Right, Tristan? I told you that the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, I'm still alive, you know.
Amen.
And I'm glad I get to meet people like yourself, Tristan, and you. I don't know how to refer to you, Mr. John. Is it evangelist, prophet, man of God?
Oh, just John. Just John.
John is okay. Brother John, may I say Brother John then?
Sure, sure.
Because I never want to disrespect, you know, anyone at all.
No,
so,
no, I'm not worried about titles at all.
No, I understand what you're saying. I just still didn't want – I wanted to at least give you the reverence
you.
That you deserve. So, and I think you're doing a wonderful job. Your life sounds very, very – interesting, and I think it's just awesome that you are able to be on this broadcast, because I think it's going to share with a lot of people, you know, that we definitely need that revival like you're talking about, and it goes in line with definitely what WATB believes, and I think it's a great thing that you're on there. I read on your bio you like to take sunrise and sunset pictures. How awesome is that?
Well,
you know,
that's another big thing, and I post those every day on my personal Facebook page, and the Lord gives me, you know, a one-liner or something to go with them, or a verse, you know, that jumps up, and I put them with them, you know. So, it's been a life-changing experience, really.
I was going to say, is it kind of helping you? Yeah.
the Lord tugged at me for 8 years about doing that, and His grace
really
is totally amazing. It was on, wow, you know, on the back burner for 8 years, and I finally, one morning, jumped up real early in time to go for the sunset, and just parked at the end of a dead end street to watch the sunrise, and it just blew me away. And next day, I took a disposable camera and started taking pictures, and went on from there. And so I'm not a pro at it, but He's given me some unbelievable pictures, you know. And so I love to share them on Facebook.
Awesome.
I think it's awesome.
That really is. Well,
it's sharing His creation, you know. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think people sometimes forget to look at that. You know, maybe they work so much they never see a sunrise or sunset. You know what I mean?
That's
it's
true.
Just like,
that's true.
You know,
and they're always different. You know, it's amazing. I don't know that I've ever taken two that were totally identical. Some are similar.
Wow.
Some every 5 minutes, the sky completely changes color in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In the morning,
oh, yeah,
but just as the sun comes up, in 5 minutes it can change completely, and really just as the sun goes down it can change.
Oh yeah.
The afterglow colors and preglow kind of colors are just phenomenal, and you get the big picture. That's something else I've always the Lord has spoke to me about. He has the big picture because He sees everything at once, and we need
right
to get the big picture, and that gives us a semblance of it when we sit down and see a half a mile or a mile long scenery at a lake or a park, and you start taking in, wow, all of that stuff. God made all that stuff for us.
Yes, He did.
He made it for us, you know, for us to establish dominion and to enjoy it. To enjoy it, and just to sit there and look at what He's done for a minute, and that gives Him a great opportunity to share some revelation with us that we so desperately need and want. And when we're not really trying to get it, you know, we're just sitting in His presence, and then He has a chance to really say what He wants to.
Very true. On that note, I think that's an awesome place to end, actually, just because it's got such a great feel to it, you know, that it gives an idea of what we need to be looking at, the big picture and where God wants us in that
Amen
picture.
That's right.
I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask Ilona to pray for you as well, and then I'd like you to pray for our audience, if you don't mind, John.
Okay.
All right. And so, Bride, I just ask that you would come into agreement with us as we pray for John, that you just lift him up and that you would lift up his ministry and keep him in your mind and in your prayers. So, Lord, we come together as the Bride of Christ over John Ward's ministry. We pray over his vision, his heart, and his mission. We pray that you would send forth a host of angels from heaven to bring reinforcements to him, his family, his church and ministry, and to all of his team. In the Spirit, we hold up his arms like Aaron did with Moses. We gather around him to speak life. We speak abundance of rain to him. We speak all strategies, sources, strength, and tools that he will need to accomplish his mission be supplied to him. We support our brother, and we thank you for downloading this mission into him, Lord. We thank you for him being on the broadcast today. And we thank you for acceleration in his ministry and his vision. Increase in the prophetic dreams, visions, downloads from heaven, and increase in his finances to be able to accomplish all that he seeks to do with you, Lord. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. In Jesus' name, we thank you for him. We thank you for the wisdom that you've given to us through him in this interview today, Lord. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's see. I want to go ahead and pray now. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to come together for a time such as this so that we may help you in providing you the bride that you are desperately seeking. You know, thank you again for blessing all of us with all the provisions necessary to continue to do your work, Lord, not our work, but your work. And thank you for perfect health for all of us and our families. I want to thank you for continuing to protect us all and giving us your heart, because we know it doesn't matter what we say or do. It's our heart that matters. That's really important to you. So we thank you again for this platform, for Tristan, for doing a great job leading this broadcast, and for Brother John Ward, a man of God who is truly after your heart.
Amen.
Bless them both mightily in all that they do and touch. and continue to give visions to both of them and to all of us as you desire for us to make those visions happen for you, Lord. So we thank you again for this wonderful ministry and again for Brother John Ward for having the vision that he has, and that we look forward to all those things happening in the very near future. And for, it says in the Bible that the steps of a righteous man, you know, and or woman, I have to say, are ordered. So we thank you for those steps, Lord, and we thank you for allowing us all to come before you right now together and just agreeing together to help everyone that's listening out there to know that we do love them and that we want to be there for them just like Christ is there for us. So we thank you so much, Lord, for everything. And we just love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you
well, thank you. I just want to say thanks to We Are the Bride for having me on. And thank you, Tristan and Ilona, so much for sharing this time with me. And I just pray right now for God's blessing on We Are the Bride and on the bride around the world, that that we would just really hear the word of God and come together and be that one body with one head and one baptism, one Holy Spirit, that Ilona mentioned and that I did too. And Lord, we just pray you'd bring that home to our hearts around the world so that we might be the servants and leader, the servant leaders, and just everybody doing their part to give you the glory and honor and prepare the way for the risen King. In Jesus' name,
amen.
We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen.
It's been a pleasure to get to speak with you, John, and we are very happy that you were on here with us. And thank you for co-hosting with me, Ilona.
Oh, no problem. It was a pleasure. I enjoyed myself tremendously. It was wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, I had a great time. Thanks again.
Likewise. Well, Brad, it's been a pleasure to get to speak with you all again, and I hope you all get that God blesses everyone who hears this. Have a great rest of the day.